Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the breakfast huddle. Lots for investors to digest this Thursday morning, the 2nd of July. It's a new day where and new reasons for U.S.-China tensions. And we saw some of those reasons yesterday in Hong Kong, Ryan.
Yes, we had at least 300 people being arrested. And of course, it was a milestone day where we had the new controversial security law kicking in, as well as Hong Kong marking its handover since 1997. So a big day, and I think this will continue to play out for the rest of the week.
We also have some U.S. sanctions to talk about as well, and the WHO talking about how some countries may have to reinstate lockdowns as coronavirus pandemic accelerates, Apple closing more stores as well. The big one, of course, those FOMC minutes.
Yeah, in the mix as well, investors have to digest and look through between the lines what the FOMC is saying in the latest minutes, and it's pretty much saying it will hold interest rates steady and it expects to keep rates low for until it sees some signs of improvement. To get a bigger picture, I've got Shane Oliver, Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane. How are you doing in Sydney?
Good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm Shane. Always great to hear from you. Shane, let's start things off first with your view, your overview of the markets right now. With there's a bit of good news and bad news. What do you make of what's happening right now? You've got some encouraging data, for example, on the U.S. manufacturing sector, but you also have a resurgence in COVID-19 cases.
That's right. It's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it? And that, I think, is why the U.S. share market, the many share markets, have been sort of stuck in a range now for the last few weeks. You know, on the one hand, we have seen some better economic data as the economy responded to the earlier reopening in economies. But then against that reopening is now being threatened in the US and other parts of the world as the number of coronavirus cases surges in certain areas. So to be honest with you, it's a bit of a mixed bag. And that probably leaves the market in a bit of a range-bound environment. On one hand, you've got this ongoing coronavirus threat. And then on the other hand, there's also stimulus measures in the works, particularly in the US, and the prospect of a vaccine. So my feeling is equity markets are probably going to be stuck in a bit of a range for a while. It's still way too early to say this correction that we've been seeing since about early mid-June is over yet.
Yeah, Shane, also in the spotlight is what the Fed is saying and also, of course, what people are trying to interpret from the minutes, whether they are going to keep interest rates low. And now part of the conversation is something called yield curve control. Shane, walk us through what is the significance of yield curve control and what are you getting out of the Fed from the latest minutes?
Well, basically, the message I take from the minutes is that the Fed is thinking about what it will do next in terms of monetary policy. We saw some emergency measures through March, and some of those have continued, or most of those have continued, in fact. And the question is what to do next. And it looks like the Fed is heading towards some form of stronger forward guidance in terms of telling the market when it expects to raise interest rates or how long it's going to keep interest rates down and how long it's going to continue with very easy monetary policy. At the moment, it's a bit vague. I think they'll end up strengthening that and saying that they won't raise rates until, say, there's a big fall in unemployment or something more specific. They're also, I think, quite fully focused on some more defined, more definition about how much quantitative easing they will do, how many bonds they will buy each month in terms of the dollar value. At the moment, it's still a bit vague. Beyond the end of the year, it's a bit vague. And in the background, they're thinking about this thing called yield curve control, which is what Japan has been doing for some years. And, of course, more recently, Australia has been doing since about March, where the Reserve Bank of Australia basically said they will target a three-year bond yield of 0.25% and they will undertake bond purchases to make sure that target is met. Well, the Fed's having a look at that. So far, they seem to be a bit lukewarm on the prospect of doing that as opposed to doing quantitative easing, but it's something that they may do. My own personal view is that it's probably not going to achieve much more than what they would achieve just by doing the quantitative easing they've been doing anyway. So I reckon for the Fed, that's probably a second-order prospect.
Yeah, so the Fed not yet keen on putting real targets for these yields in the road, in the, down the road. And if you look at gold prices, Shane, we've seen it spike above $1,800 overnight. And if you look at what the Fed is saying, you know, low interest rates to come, we've seen the dollar drifting lower. Is that going to be even more upside for gold in the, you know, second half of the year?
It could be. It could be. I mean, the reality is that we're stuck in a world of very weak economic growth, or put it another way, a lot of spare capacity globally. Obviously, that's evident in very high unemployment rates, particularly if you take away government support measures. So that means that monetary policy is going to remain easy for a long time to come. The Fed is overnight, they indicated that they're looking at or trying to wrap up their structural review of what they target in terms of monetary policy. It may mean that they move to an inflation average target. In other words, if they've undershot their inflation target for a period of time, then that means they might have to overshoot it for a period of time, all of which is very dovish, all of which means very low interest rates, lots of money being pumped into economies for some time to come, which in theory is very positive for gold because it means the holding cost of gold is close to zero or negative, making it quite attractive, and also all that increased money in the system reduces the value of paper currencies relative to hard currency like gold. So I suspect gold still has more upside ahead, even though it's had a pretty good run so far this year.
Yeah, Shane, so just to wrap things up, we've just kicked off the second half of the year. Should investors be doing anything differently in terms of repositioning their portfolios as we see, you know, signs that there is going to be more volatile events to come, for example, the US elections? What should investors be doing for the second half of 2020?
Well, I would say right now there's not a strong signal either way in terms of markets. If you're taking a 12-month view, then fair enough. I think I'd stay long in shares and growth assets, and you'll benefit from eventual recovery in the global economy. In the short term, I'd be a little bit cautious. I'd probably wait for a bit of a dip in markets before putting any more money into share markets, simply because I think these coronavirus risks are still there. We've seen numerous countries look like they've got it under control. Australia is an example of that, or the state of Victoria is an example of that. And then, of course, it pops up again. And we've seen that occasionally in China and Singapore earlier this year. It looked like it was okay, and then it sort of took off. So I think that until we get a vaccine, yeah, we're gonna, and that vaccine is deployed, that's going to remain an ongoing issue. And therefore, I'd probably be waiting for dips before buying into the market. Now, of course, if we hear overnight that a vaccine is out there, it's about to be deployed, different story, I'd just get in. I'd just get in as quickly as you can. But to me, though, I think that's still a fair way off.
Yeah, cases in Melbourne spiking and we've got restrictions coming back there. Shane, thank you so much for your time this morning and stay safe in Sydney.
You too. Thank you, Ron.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.